You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Right, let's now speak about the cases in Gauteng. So COVID-19 cases have been soaring in Gauteng since we moved to level 3 lockdown, so much so that the provincial government is suggesting that maybe we can start considering an intermittent lockdown to ready the health system for the next wave of infections. The province now has 63,404 cases. That's over 30% of the total 196,750 cases in the country. Gauteng is just behind the Western Cape, which is now sitting at 69,531 cases. Let's speak to the MEC of Health in Gauteng, Dr. Bandile Masuku. MEC, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and good morning to our listeners, and thanks for having us on your show.
When are you expecting to make your case before the National Command Council for you to be allowed to introduce some kind of a lockdown that can ready us for the next wave of infections? Is still that the plan?
It's still the plan, and it's still under discussion. And I think it's just about more stricter regulations that we need to apply, because some of the regulations are actually available. They've been adopted and they've been programmed by the Gazette. So it's just for us to how we can make sure that we apply them in a more stricter way.
And what does that look like practically, MEC? I was reading the Sunday Times article where you were making suggestions of how this could be realized, that, you know, the economic powerhouse could be shut down for maybe 2 weeks at a time. Nobody goes to work and no one moves. Then the economy opens up again for a particular period of time and then it closes again. Practically, how would those restrictions work?
It's one of those that we have put on the table. But remember that we wouldn't want to return back to hard lockdown because of the implications that it has on the economy. But what we are also putting across is that we also have to get into it now with proper insight, because we have got experience of the previous lockdown. So there are some aspects that we can be able to apply and put them into action without having a devastating impact on the economy. The housing mines, for example, they indicate that in terms of the seismic movement that happened during their operation, it might not be possible to do a week in, week out type of arrangement. So it's something that we still have to engage with the business sector, with everyone. But the sectors that we have spoken to, they've confirmed that we need to just apply the regulations in a more stricter form.
What went wrong, MEC, according to your assessment? We had 100 days to prepare for a surge in cases, to prepare the health system, ensure we have enough PPE, enough hospital beds, enough health workers. We're now dealing with a situation where some hospitals are turning patients away. Some don't even have enough health care workers. Oxygen supplies are reportedly running low in some hospitals. It's almost like government implemented that costly lockdown to get ready, but it's actually not ready.
You know, it might be a very unfair analysis if you take it like that, because by and large, is that our modeling did indicate that we will have some gaps when we come to July, and we have to mitigate for that. And the
MEC, look, let me put you back to the producer so that they can re-establish that line with you. You were breaking there. We're speaking to the Gauteng MEC of Health, Dr. Bandile Masuku, about the surge in the number of cases in the province. I think we've got the MEC. Ooh, all right. Let's try get the MEC back on the line so we can continue our conversation. He says modeling did indicate that we could be seeing some gaps around July, and that's what the provincial government was waiting for. But, you know, having read the articles and listened to some of the provincial leaders, it came across as though they're surprised, well, seemingly, by the number of cases that we're now seeing, this surge in cases. Okay, Dr. Bandile Masuku, you are back on the line. You were explaining that your modeling has actually indicated that we could be seeing a surge in cases and some gaps in terms of the health system around July. But why did we not prepare for that? Were we properly prepared for those gaps?
We are implementing a lot of things now that we had under plans, you know, so that we don't get to a point where, you know, the point that you actually described, because field hospitals are going to mitigate actually to that effect. But one thing that we are seeing is that our accident and emergency departments are the ones that are feeling the pressure because of the PUIs that are actually coming in. PUIs are patients that are under investigation that have to await results before they get to be tried to a normal bed. So those are things that we have been putting in place, and they are continuing to be put in place. And the capacity, we won't get to a point where we say we have enough. We're just going to continuously adapt it and make sure that it's able to cater for everyone. At the current moment, yes, there might be some diversion in terms of hospitals, but there will be a space in some of the others. So that's how we are managing our beds between private and the public sector.
And how many beds are we talking now? What were you able to prepare for? What worst scenario did you prepare for around this time? Is it 30,000 cases, 35, or were you prepared for the kind of cases that we're seeing now that are being recorded daily?
The majority of the cases that are actually reported are cases that are having a mild and they don't require hospitalization. And in that regard, we would want to make sure that those who require hospitalization, which is 5% of those who are active cases, and that's what we have been seeing. The pressure that is there is with winter. It's a pressure that we normally see during this time of the year, would come with other pneumonias and other things. But the beds, the gap that was there that we modeled out is around 700 and so beds, which we will be able to mitigate with our field hospitals.
What are the worrying factors in the province that you think are taking up the cases? I mean, I understand that you must also deal with this issue of taxi drivers who are filling their taxis to capacity. Some nurses use public transport to go to work. There are school children that use transport to go to work. So this could really be a recipe for disaster. But what are some of the problematic areas that you have identified in the province as those that lie behind this exponential rise in the cases that we're witnessing in the province?
Yeah, I think generally, starting from the lockdown level 3, the increased movement across the province, interprovincial movement, the informal trading, schools reopening, that increased movement has increased the rate of transmission. Because also we have to put into account that the modeling that we did was also based on these regulations being strictly applied. And at the moment, we all agree that they are not really strictly applied and they are not really enforced. Our public are organizing parties, are organizing weddings, and that's where the issue is.
I want to speak more about the issue of health workers, MEC, because as I indicated, some of them use public transport. There's been a conversation about health workers and whether it's not wise to arrange alternative accommodation for them, because some of them contract COVID-19 from communities they come from. Is that something that you're thinking about in the province?
There are options that we are implementing in some of the districts. It has not been applied throughout the whole district, but it's one option that we have, is including the transport, because we are seeing a number of our healthcare workers getting infected, and most of them, it's not even through patient to healthcare worker. It's mainly to the community acquired pattern.
Mm. What about the death figures? There was an issue around the death figures that you submit to the national government of the National Department of Health. I think at some point the numbers were the same for 2 days, as though there were no new deaths being recorded in the province. Is that the case, or is there a delay in reporting the cases?
The delay is caused by the intense process of child verification. We wouldn't want to get to a point where we are now which is normally announced by the national minister, announced deaths, and we have not verified the results. You know, and I think the lag time usually is because of the verification process, the audit that has to come, and some of the patients who maybe died whilst they're under investigation are waiting results. So there's a number of factors that are actually coming into picture in that regard. But we are, in essence, very transparent about everything. And when we get them, whether it's 2 days late or so, the issue is that we do report them as they are.
Someone is asking here on the WhatsApp line on 072-702-1702 please ask the MEC, when are they finishing the renovations at Dr. George Mukhari Hospital so they can open the wards? We have a serious bed shortage there as we speak. What's the update on that?
The wards are pretty much ready. They're just waiting for a few touch-ups in terms of the oxygen points and other things. But they are ready to be actually open. And remember, George Mukhari is one of the hospitals that we are going to put up extra 300 beds for them in the coming week or two. So by August, those beds that we are actually constructing using alternative building technology will be up and running, because that is the most faster and the quicker way of constructing this nowadays.
And what's the update with, you know, improving the infrastructure at some of the field hospital, MEC? For instance, I mean, we need more beds, but it doesn't help if we're building all of these beds, but they're not oxygenated. So where are we with getting enough ventilators, for instance, to even use them at that NASREC facility that you've prepared as the provincial government?
Remember, the whole idea is not to use field hospitals as critical care. Most of the critical care patients should still be seen and be managed in hospitals. So the idea is to have field hospitals being put up, like in NASREC, and one that we're putting up in Senada Stadium in Davidson. Those are the ones that will be used for purpose of stepping down patients that are actually normal, but who are getting better, just require more treatment further. But the purpose for us is to make sure that we create all our beds to be multi-purpose and to be able to be fully have capacity to be upscaled when we need to.
All right. And just your general message to the people of Gauteng: does the provincial government have a plan to deal with the exponential rise in cases? Because a lot of people are freaking out. Yes, we did expect that cases are going to rise, we'll be reaching our peak. But even on the SMS lines, a lot of people are asking, does the provincial government even have a plan?
The plan we're implementing now, I think we spend, like you said, we spent the first 2 months of our plan, of our response, giving out modeling and actually putting plans into motion. At the current moment, we are not planning anything. We're implementing what we have planned, and it's plan in motion, and it's going to be continuously adaptable and be able to escalate it as the intensity increases. So the plan has been there, and we're just implementing now and moving as quickly as possible.
All right. MEC, thank you so much for your time. Gauteng MEC of Health, Dr. Bandile Masuku, and he speaks there about the modeling that's been done, and that we're not really starting new plans now. We're using the modeling that's been provided for to now implement. We're implementing it and responding to this surge in COVID-19 cases. I don't know about you, but it almost felt like the provincial government officials were almost surprised about the surge in cases. Huh? Like, for instance, the MEC spoke to the Sunday Times. In fact, from last week already, I saw in the news that he mentioned this hard lockdown and whether or not it's not possible to almost implement this intermittent lockdown to ready the health system for the next wave of infections. And I feel like there's an about turn now, because he's now telling us that, well, it's not going to be possible to go back to level 5 lockdown. But if you read what he told the Sunday Times, it's very clear the proposals that the MEC was making there. I mean, in his words, according to the quote in the Sunday Times article, he says, we're looking at nobody goes to work and no one moves. Then the economy opens up again for a particular period of time and then it closes again. So at least there's predictability and you can control infections in that way. This is a quote of the MEC. And if you listen to what the spokesperson of the Gauteng government told Bongani Bima this morning and what the MEC is saying now, it looks like there's been an about 10. They're now realizing that maybe that's not going to be the best option, especially because even President Cyril Ramaphosa indicated on Friday that there are no plans to move back to level 5 lockdown or any other hard lockdown. It's 22 minutes after 10.
Clement Mangatela, weekday mornings, 9 to 12.
All right, let's speak more about what's happening in Gauteng with Professor Bruce Melando, who's a senior scientist at Itemba Labs and also a professor at Wits University. Prof, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time. You're a member of the Gauteng Command Council. You and other experts have helped the provincial government in developing models to help it respond to the virus more effectively. Is what we are seeing now, this exponential rise in cases, a surprise? Or did the projections warn of the numbers, the number of cases rising in this way during this time?
Hi, thanks for having me. So, indeed, we are in charge of developing projections and modeling for the province. I'm a member of the COVID-19 advisory committee. And to answer your question in regard to what we see right now, overall, we can say that it was expected. The mathematics was very clear in that if a significant fraction of the population did not adhere to social distancing, as already the Premier indicated on Thursday during the weekly press conference, that the numbers would become large.
And did we anticipate that we'd be seeing about 10,000 daily rise in the cases?
So, from the point of view of modern, that certainly is possible and can even get worse.
Mm.
But it's important to underline that there are two parallel processes. And let me try to spend 30 seconds explaining that. So we have two main processes. One is the development of the pandemic at the level of the province at large, and then we have the hotspots. So if we allow those hotspots to grow or to become too many, then what happens is that the entire province becomes engulfed in a fire, so to say. And the entire province basically goes into the mode of uncontrolled transmission, and the numbers will become significantly worse than we have now. So, even though the numbers are scary, this doesn't mean that we can't stop it. It's really within our power to make sure that everyone that can adheres to social distancing. We still have a chance to avoid the very large numbers that could come if a significant fraction of the population doesn't observe social distancing.
Mm. So this may be tough for you to answer, Prof, given that you do work with government on this, but I'm hoping you'll give us an honest answer of whether or not government, especially the provincial government, used the 100 days of lockdown effectively to prepare for this coming peak, or was that futile? I mean, is it ready for what the projections have shown you? Because as I say, listening to what the MEC said last week about the suggestions around this intermittent lockdown, yes, now there seems like there's an about 10, they're realizing that there are great consequences for us if we move back to a hard lockdown. But do you think the 100 days of lockdown were used effectively to prepare for this rise in infections?
Okay, we come in as academics to help government with modeling mathematics and things like that. So I don't have the complete picture. However, in all our interactions with government officials, local government officials, the Department of Health, people are working around the clock. And I do know that people have started thinking right away about how to prepare for this. It's a very complex process because you really have to make sure the entire system works cohesively, private, public, different hospitals, this communication, the data flows. It's a very complex ecosystem that needs to be brought together in haste. So my understanding is that efforts were basically started off from day one. And we are now very advanced in understanding Data flows in understanding how to monitor hospitalizations, what kind of hospitalizations need being beefed up, how many beds will be required, how many people will be affected should a massive surge take place, and all that. So, look, it's very complicated because you have to understand that not in South Africa, not elsewhere, were we ready for a pandemic of this kind. So I do believe time was used. I mean, I can't speak to all the nitty-gritty detail, obviously, because I'm not qualified, but what I've seen speaks to the fact that efforts were made from day one.
Mm. And in terms of the beds, Prof, how are we looking in terms of hospital beds? I mean, I experienced firsthand the incapacity and the shortage of health workers and even hospital beds at one of the private hospitals that I went to, and I had taken somewhere there a couple of weeks ago. And we literally spent a few 4, 5, 6 hours while they were trying to get other health workers to try and come and attend to this specific person. And then after that, we then had to wait again because that hospital didn't have enough beds. So this person had to be transferred to another hospital. So it does seem like the shortage of beds has been an issue for some time now. Are we ready for these cases that we're seeing rise in the province?
So as I said, our job is to ensure that our policymakers have an evidence-based model and they can make evidence-based decisions. So we give to the best of our abilities, projections based on the mathematics that underlie those models. So, questions pertaining to the current bed usage or shortages or plans clearly have to be addressed to the Department of Health directly. And I believe the MEC and the Premier tried to address that question on Thursday. In that they gave numbers for the number of beds that will be added in the near future, taking into account the numbers that we give to them. Now, what I'm emphasizing here is that the policymakers do look at these numbers, and they are certainly taking seriously the signs that underlie those numbers. Now, on the other hand, one also has to take into account that there is also, it's a two-way street. There's also a clear need to instill in the population, and that's why, you journalists, radio, TV, scientists, and policymakers need to work together in order to instill the absolute need for people to adhere to social distancing to stop these hotspots to grow into a massive outbreak that would certainly be traumatic here and elsewhere, as we know it, as we've seen in other countries. Mm. So I think that's what we need to be focusing on, in my opinion, in that we are as strong as the weakest link. And if we have a fraction of the population not wearing masks when they could, or not practicing social distancing or hugging or shaking hands or whatever when they shouldn't, that's something that we really need to work on as a matter of urgency.
Mm, yeah, those non-pharmaceutical protocols, it's right in our hands. The president actually told us that. Professor, thank you so much for your time. Professor Bruce Melando is a senior scientist at Itamba Labs and a professor at Wits University. You know, I was listening to someone mention that the Western Cape may have the highest number of cases, but its hospitals are coping relatively well. And I wonder if you agree that province was better prepared than the Gauteng province, if you listen to what the provincial leaders have been saying, the suggestions they've been making, reaching out to national government for assistance. Yes, the Western Cape at some point also reached out for that assistance. But it appears their hospitals are coping relatively well. And look at us. We haven't really reached our peak. And already some patients are being turned away from other hospitals.
Clement Manyathela. Know, live, transform. This is 702.
24 minutes before 11 o'clock. Thank you for staying with the Clement Manyathela show. Just some reflections on the conversation that we just had with the MEC, Dr. Bandile Masuku, the MEC of Health in Gauteng, but also Professor Melando, who has done modeling for the provincial government here in Gauteng. And whether we're ready for this surge in cases. And somebody, and I made a comment before we went to break, that I really think we need to start looking at how the Western Cape is dealing with and responding to the virus. And I indicated that someone was mentioning that, say what you will about the Western Cape, but if you look at their hospitals, they are coping relatively well. So they were very quick to prepare. And I see someone made an interesting point, which I really take. Lira on Twitter says, Clement, the Western Cape has a population of 6 million. Gauteng has a population of about 15 million people. So it's a bit tricky to compare the two. In my view, I take that, Lira. So it's going to be easy, obviously, for a population that is not as big as Gauteng to prepare and perhaps also have enough resources. But I think we had 100 days to prepare for a surge in cases, which is the case I was trying to make earlier. If the modeling has indicated and the projections said to us, we're looking at about 10,000 cases daily, then we should be ready for it, right? Then let's make sure that there are more beds. You know, the MEC mentioned that we knew from the modeling that there were going to be gaps in the health system. But did we prepare for those gaps in the health system? Or are we stuck where we are now as though we didn't see that this moment was coming? So we can continue this conversation on the social media streets. You can hashtag the CM show and I'll read some of your comments as we go.